We're delighted tonight to have Zachary. He willed, was willing when Todd asked him, I guess, about a week ago, was it? We give him a lot of notice. Just been really busy working on some other things. And so Zach just agreed to come in and speak for us tonight. So we always enjoy him sharing God's word with us. So hope you give him your attention tonight.
Open up to Psalm 121:4, and we'll soon make our way there. But yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago, and I was thinking, I think it was in it was a Sunday night, and I was thinking that, you know, I'm very well ahead of schedule because I'm on the schedule for April, late April. And I thought, all right, I've already got a message idea. I've already outlined some stuff. I'm ahead of schedule. And that night I realized I was actually just right on time because Mr. Brainerd said, could you speak during spring break? And I said, sure. So I went from being way ahead of schedule to just right on time. And so I thought I was going to use the idea that I had for the April message, but then after he had asked and his daylight savings time was coming up, I kind of had some stuff happen that gave me a new idea for this one. Tonight's message will be titled, No Rest for the Weary. And what I was thinking of is that about a week ago on a Saturday, we'd been sick. You know, our family has kind of been sharing. You know, there's a lot we don't share with each other, but we'll share our sicknesses. And I was feeling really bad Saturday and got home that night, took some medicine, said, I really need some sleep, so I'm going to take some Benadryl. That's the best sleep aid I can for me. And I laid down at about 9 o'clock, the Saturday daylight savings time, and woke up at about 8. So I got 11 hours on the clock, but actually just 10. And so, you know, Sunday, feeling better. I slept about 9 hours that night. And then Monday was just feeling so much better. And on the drive back home, I thought, you know, of all the things that really have helped me feel better, sleep was really important. Of how good I felt after getting a lot of hours of sleep. And, you know, while other people at work were complaining about daylight savings time and dragging, I was like, I slept the longest I ever have, the night of daylight savings time. I slept right through it, didn't even know it happened. So I felt great. And it made me think how important sleep is to our well-being. How important it is just... It's something that just like eating, you sleep for 8 hours, let's say on average, and that's good for about 16 hours, and then you're tired again. And how much of your life you spend sleeping. And so I started looking at what it is, how we feel when we have sleeplessness, when we're weary. And so I started looking up some sleep deprivation facts. Its impact on you is worse than most drugs, they say, if you keep going when you are not having sleep. If you pull all-nighters, you know, you get in school and maybe when you were in college or high school, you pulled all-nighters to get something done. And it was something that I quickly learned that the only time it was good to pull an all-nighter was if it was something I was turning in to just get reviewed. So if I had a big paper coming up, the week ahead I'd give it to my professor to kind of look over. Well, I'd sit down that night, and throughout the whole night, I just would write it out, get a nice rough draft up, and then the next day, I would just sleep. I would just sleep, and I knew I could not do that for a test, because if you stayed up all night, the next day, you're feeling good till about 11 o'clock, and then it's just, it hits you, and you can't think straight, you're having crazy ideas, and so I had to quickly learn when I could pull an all-nighter, and when it was not smart to go without sleep. And so some of these other sleep deprivation facts I started looking at, it can lead to weight gain because your body starts eating more than it needs to so that you can stay up. It feels like it needs more fuel than it really does. Sleepiness can make you very forgetful. It affects your short-term memory. You don't know what's happening. It can also affect your hormones, lack of skin regrowth. It can affect how your body is growing. So, you know, your parents are telling you, you gotta get your sleep, you have to get your sleep. It is very true. If you're not sleeping, your body is out of kilter. It's not growing properly. Another thing is that insomnia is the leading link, leading symptom. It's what they find in most people that are depressed. Insomnia usually leads to depression. You get physically depressed because you're not sleeping. You want to sleep, but you can't. It's not a, you know, it's not like when you're excited about something and you know the next day, you know, oh, I'm excited about we're going to do this. We're going to start a trip. And you know, that as a kid, especially like on Christmas, you can't sleep. It's excitement. The one time you want to sleep and just get the next day here, you can't. You're trying to tell yourself, all right, you know, you can't just say, let's go to sleep. I want to go to sleep right now. The harder you try, the harder it is. But this is that idea of you're there and you can't sleep. You're tired. You want to go to bed, but you just cannot get the rest you need. Something's wrong with your body. And I started looking at some other ones, and there is a very rare disease called fatal familial insomnia that after 18 months can lead to death because your body will not sleep long enough. These people will go, and after 6 months of just horrible sleep patterns, they'll start experiencing problems like that they're having hallucinations. They start experiencing symptoms of dementia, of Alzheimer's, just because their body's not sleeping. There are other chemical problems that are causing this, but they literally cannot sleep. And even if it's, they've tried medical-induced comas, they've tried other things, there's nothing that replaces your body naturally going to sleep. You know, they have these energy drinks out there. They have these other things. I remember, hopefully Ben won't mind me sharing this, but this is one of our funniest stories from high school. It was our 10th grade year, and Ben was in charge of, none of the other kids stepped up, so Ben was really helping us out doing the sounds. There were a lot of sounds in the Ransom of Red Chief. And so somehow, some kid had gotten in there and was trying to help Ben out and had deleted all of the sound effects that we had practiced. I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, if you just finished your term paper and said, all right, save, and you went, oh no, hit delete. Okay, well, Ben he felt obligated. He had to get this done, and the dry run was the next day, the rehearsal run. So Ben had to stay up all night to get the thing back to where it was, to do all the sounds again. And I remember we left Ben in there probably about 5 o'clock that night, and we said, Ben, you're good? He's like, yeah, I'll knock it out. I'll get it finished. We came in, and we come walking down the hallway, 8 o'clock, before class starts at 8:15, and we're just walking down, and there was something we had left in the sound room. And we said, oh, we need to get that prop for today. We need to have that ready. We need to get things ready for the rehearsal today. We're doing it at 9 o'clock for the kids. Well, we open that door, and there's Ben looks at us, and there's Ben, and we go, Ben! And we at first thought, Ben, you're here early. And then we looked, and there were energy drink cans. There was a Subway sandwich wrapper. And we said, Ben, how long have you been here? And he said, what are y'all doing here? And we said, Ben, it's the next school day. And he had lost track of time. He was up, and he got the job done. Now, I will say, Ben got the job done. It was a great play, got the sound effects. But he was so focused on getting everything done, and he had taken stimulants to stay up. And he went and crashed that afternoon. I remember him telling us he went and just slept. But you can see that there's no replication, there's no replacement for real sleep. You can't trick your body. You are only carrying out as far as you can go until it crashes. Your body craves sleep. And so I started looking at verses about sleep. And I really was able to pinpoint ones that were about sleeplessness. And first, I want to just look at a couple verses. You don't have to turn there. But about the sleeplessness for the physical man. So what does the Bible say in regard to sleep? Proverbs 6:10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and then poverty will come on you like a robber. I started thinking about this, and, you know, if you're tired and you exert yourself and you think, I'm going to push through this, you know, I don't need sleep, I only have to get 5-6 hours. If you think you're better than sleep, you can really wear yourself out and get to the point of where, you know, you think, all right, I just need to take a quick little nap, or let me just rest here, let me do this. And then if you're not well rested throughout the day, problems can jump on you. Have you ever said, all right, hit the snooze button, I'll sleep just 10 more minutes? And then you slept an hour, or you slept a little longer than you needed to, and realize, I'm now way behind. I've got to rush to get somewhere. If you've ever maybe thought, oh, I just need to turn this in, and then I'll just take a little nap and wake up and realize it's past the deadline. Or there are just several times I can think of in my life where you thought, I'm just going to take a quick little nap, and then you wake up and you're like, uh-oh. I've done that before with Gators before. There will be times you get home, and I'm sure everyone's done this. You will lay in bed, and you will be right about to get to sleep, and then you will just go, did I lock that? Did I shut that? Did I get that? And it'll be just like, and you're pretty sure you did, but at about 1 a.m. in the morning, you're not 100% sure. And it's like, did I really lock that? Will it be okay till in the morning? And then you're like, no, this is something I need to go do. So you get up, go check it, make sure it's there. There are those things of where just you think you're going to get rest and you don't. And that a little sleep and a little slumber, you think, oh, just give me 15 more minutes. It'll be okay. I just want a little bit. And then it turns into a lot more than you expected. So there's a negative connotation to this. If you put yourself through the ringer and don't get the sleep you need, it can cause problems. You can go to sleep at the wheel. You can cause other things. Just a quick little moment of you dozing off can have horrific consequences. And so, then the second verse I looked at, Ecclesiastes 5:12. Sweet is the sleep of the laborer, but the full stomach of the rich won't let him sleep. You know, rest is a reward. And I will get into this where, you know, it's your weariness is a curse. Weariness is a curse of this body. But the Lord has been gracious enough to where if you're a hard worker, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, rest is sweet. You know, I'm sure that the people here that work at Gators can tell you, after, you know, with Ben and those of us that work kind of during the day and then go down there, it's sweet sleep when you get home. I mean, you get there and it's not tossing and turning. There's no waking up in the middle of the night. It's just, you're zonked out. You are enjoying that bed because you've worked. You know, have you ever had days off where you really don't do anything? And you're just, you know, you just toss and turn. You're not comfortable that night. You really haven't exerted any energy. Or, like the verse says here, you've eaten a lot. You know, have you ever had that full stomach at night and you're just laying there and it's like, ooh, I ate way too much. And it just kind of hits you. Or you're sick and you don't feel well. Those are awful nights. You know, those are some of the worst nights growing up when you're sick as a kid and the fever gets worse at night. You can't sleep, and it's just, it's awful. And so, rest is supposed to be a reward. When we don't have it, we feel that. We feel that it's a problem. When we can't sleep well, it affects our whole life. But when we have good sleep, we feel great. When we've worked hard, and you have a good night's sleep, and you wake up, you feel refreshed. There's that difference between when you wake up and feel refreshed, and you wake up and go, ooh, I really need about 2-3 more hours of sleep. And you just kind of trudge through the day and have to make it through. So then another verse, Matthew 26:40. This one is Peter sleeping in the garden. When you don't have sleep and you're sleepless and then you get tired, it's hard to fight no matter what the circumstances are. When your body wants sleep, and you've been up for a long time, it doesn't matter what's going on around you, the primary motive in your body is, we need to shut down. No, we need to stay up. No, we need to shut down. And you feel like you have no control over it. You know, maybe that's some of you out there tonight. You can get in church and you finally have sat down for the day and it's just like, you know, you're fighting it, that one eye's open while the other eye's shut, and it's just, it's hard to fight. We see here in the Bible, Peter, it's the Lord in the garden right before he's crucified. And he is praying. He is, you know, sweating drops of blood. And he just asks for Peter and the disciples to just stay awake. And they can't. They want to. You know, they probably wanted to. They were like, we're trying. And it was late at night. And they had just eaten. And it was just, they couldn't. The Lord was exhorting them to stay up, and their body was so, you know, that's how frail it is. It needs sleep. No matter what you're willing it, it's shutting down. You know, if your car runs out of gas, no matter how much you want it to keep going, and no matter how much you push that pedal, it doesn't have any more gas. It's not going anywhere. We were at something for Alabama football, one of their practices, and Saban was talking about some of the defensive players, and someone asked him about the, you know, how many snaps those big defensive linemen have to deal with. And he just said, when they run out of gas, it's over. There's no way to refuel them. When those big 300-pound men get tired and can't move anymore, it's over. They have to wait till the next day, till the next game, till they have energy. There's no way to just go, all right, I'm refueled like a car. Just put some more gas in me, I'm ready to go. When you're out, your body's out. And then the next verse, 2 Corinthians. When Paul mentions his many tribulations, one that he mentions are sleepless nights. He mentions them alongside beatings and being ran out of town, being stoned, being whipped, being put in prison. One of the things he mentions with it is sleepless nights. And this really isn't just because of being physically unable to sleep. Think of all the reasons you can't sleep, whether you're sick or in pain. Oftentimes for the Apostle Paul, I'm sure it was worry. You know, you're concerned about people. You know, you're up praying. You're wondering, how is this going to get resolved? You're trusting the Lord, but you still have these concerns that keep you from being able to sleep peacefully. And he puts up there with all those trials and tribulations, sleepless nights, because he knows how awful it is when you can't sleep. And the last verse for the physical man's sleeplessness, Luke 9:32. And I thought this was a good one to kind of dovetail in to the next section here. Luke 9:32, the transfiguration. The wording here is that they were heavy with sleep. So you have the adjective heavy with sleep. They were about to doze off. They were up there with the Lord and they were just about to pass out. And when they saw His glory, they went from heavy sleep to fully awake. I mean, it was one of those where it's just like kind of like when, you know, maybe Mr. Brainerd, Mr. Watt speaking, and then they clap their hands or they say something, and he's like, oh, oh. You know, they said that, I cannot remember the joke, so I won't try to tell it, but it was just that, you know, a lady had fallen asleep at church, and she heard something, woke up, and she said hallelujah at the wrong time. You know, and it was just kind of where you can get caught, or like the teacher says, all right, what's the answer to that question? You're just, I'm okay, heard my name called, what was the question? You're fully awake because your nerves, adrenaline's firing. They saw the glory of the Lord, and they went from heavy sleep to fully awake. They were completely 100%. All of their senses were firing. There was no more fog or cloudiness. And so we take the sleeplessness of man and look at, for lack of a better word, the sleeplessness of God. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. This is that he doesn't even have the appearance of sleep. It doesn't look like he's dozing off. He doesn't take a single second to not just sleep, but slumber. He doesn't get foggy. He doesn't kind of doze off. The Lord never for one second from eternity past to now is not paying attention. He's fully awake. He's fully involved. There's not even a awake and asleep. It's just a he is. He is active. He doesn't know what weariness is. He's completely active in watching over his people. He neither slumber nor sleeps. He doesn't need rest. It's not something to where if it was he's always awake, but he could potentially need rest. No. There's no need for rest ever. There's not even the appearance of sleep. But yet then we think Christ came in human flesh and knows our weariness. There are often times where he would fall asleep. He experienced that sleepiness, especially at the bottom of the boat. I always think of that one, that he was just dead asleep. He was that tired from speaking to the multitudes. I mean, you think about that. Yelling to all these people, doing all this work. It's hot. There's no air condition. You're out on the shore. all of this. And he finally just passes out. You know, the Lord, Jesus Christ just passed out. He was tired. But we see here that God never needs sleep. That is that divine quality of always being watchful. You know, I remember being little and asking Mom, you know, are you going to keep your eyes open tonight? You're going to watch it. Watch out for people. You're just going to keep us safe. And she would say, yes, I'm going to keep my eyes open. You know, and Abigail had just come in more at that time, so she probably did keep her eyes open all night. But, she had to fall asleep. She couldn't stay awake 24/7, no matter, even though I asked her to and wanted her to. But the Lord does. 24/7, He's watching out for your safety. He is providing for you. He is not sleepy. He doesn't doze off. He doesn't, you know, get like we do, or your parents or teachers or something, where they come in that day and it's just like, you know, I didn't sleep well last night. I'm tired tonight. You know, you just have those days where I didn't sleep well, and people can just tell, you know, he's not feeling well. He needs to go home and get sleep. And you go home and get sleep. It's never like that. You never pray and have him go, okay, look, can we talk about this tomorrow? You know, you never have that. You imagine, you know, Lord, please help me. Hold on. I've really got to get some sleep. If you could just wait till in the morning, we'll talk about it then. You know, your parents maybe do that when they're tired. It's like, look, we'll discuss this in the morning. We'll worry about this tomorrow. He doesn't ever do that. He's always available. He's always working out for your good. And then it made me think of something I've never really thought about. Well, in fact, I have thought about this, but I thought about it the other way. Because more than just him being watchful 24/7, there's something that I've always kind of not didn't like, but wondered how it would work. Look at Revelation 21:25. And the gates of it, heaven, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You know, that was something that at first glance you look at and think, well, I kind of like the nighttime. It's cool. You know, it's the cool breeze at night. It's not as hot. There's something about the nighttime that's relaxing. That's when you go to sleep. You know, it's like, well, how are you going to rest? How are you going to rest if there's no night there? And as I was preparing for this, this point kind of just cropped up because I thought, you know, that'll be really good to highlight how the Lord God 24/7 never sleeps or slumbers. And then it made me think that it's not just forcefully trying to keep yourself awake. It's not this, we're going to miss out on sleep, or we're not going to be able to rest like that. Heaven is this ability, the new body that we are going to be given. We're not going to be weary. You know, that it's a curse that after 16 hours, you've got of being awake, you got to go back to sleep. You know, and then you pull an all-nighter and you got to sleep even more. And it's a, you know, and that it's, you just have to keep sleeping. Your body gets weary. It runs out quickly. And especially, you know, as taking care of my grandfather, those last couple months of, you know, getting done teaching here and then going to see him, he slept all the time. You know, and it was just a chore to get him out of bed. You got to wake up. We got to do some stuff. He just wanted to sleep. His body was so old, so with the curse for all those years, that it just needed all the rest it could get just to function. You know, at this age, it's hard to imagine sleepiness and rest as being a curse, because it's like, you know, I just go to bed. It doesn't matter where I'm going to bed. It doesn't matter where I lay my head down. I could lay on the concrete and you could pass out when you're young. But you start realizing it is a curse. It is our body physically gets weary. It's a part of the curse that we have to go to sleep and have to rest, just like we have to eat, have to drink water. We have to sustain ourselves or we will die. You know, you eat for pleasure so often, you don't think that. Dad thinks of it sometimes. That's why I think of it. He'll bring it up. We'll be out eating. He'll just go, you know, if we didn't do this, we'd die. And he'd be like, okay, I know that. I know that if we didn't eat, we would die. You know, but we do eat to it. You know, I want to enjoy this meal. I don't want to think of it as just like I'm going to the gas station. Fill me up, you know, okay? Ready to go. I've got energy now. But we want to enjoy it, just like we want to enjoy sleep. But at the end of the day, we would die without it. In animals, humans have these microsleeps they talk about. That it doesn't matter how stimulated you keep the body, how much you're trying to stay awake for, that your body will, for 10, 15 seconds, it'll kind of go out. It will just keep trying to shut down. It'll like try to force quit the body. It'll be 10, 15 seconds of these microsleeps. In animals, they're not as prevalent, and in laboratory conditions, they can keep lab rats up until they die from exhaustion. The animals don't do what humans do to survive. The animals will just be awake until being awake kills them. And so you realize it is a curse to need this sleep. And to realize that when we get to heaven, that this new body doesn't need sleep. It doesn't get weary. It's going to be, you know, you take that moment where you're the most excited, where you just feel awake and you feel energized. And you're, you know, kind of like in the middle of the day, you'll just be energized and think, I could stay awake forever. And then you get home at 10 a.m. and it's just like, you know, okay, no. I need some rest. But you take that, and that's what it's going to be for eternity. There's not going to be this pain of weariness. There's not going to be this need for sleep of that, whew, that was a rough day glorifying the Lord today. You know, I've got to go to sleep. No, you're not going to have like, oh, we sang way too much today. It was just, you know, I was tired. My voice is sore. I'm not going to be able to. Somebody else is going to have to sing today. You know, or it was just meeting all those people today. I got so, you know, we heard so-and-so talking this and just all that rejoicing. I'm exhausted. It's not going to be like that. You're not going to feel any fatigue. And that was just something that came out of this that I thought, you know, you don't really think of that. But that when you get to heaven, you're not going to feel that weariness anymore. When you pass away, that's the, you know, if you know the Lord, that's the last time you go to sleep. Because when you wake up and you're in the presence of the Lord, that moment is. Because how often do we tell time? It's when we fall asleep. We go to sleep and go, okay, I woke up, it's a new day. You know, you feel weird when you stay up and it's like these days are melding together. When we don't need rest and we have that new body, you can see kind of how 1,000 years is as a day and a day is as 1,000 years. It's not a passage of time. It's just a moment. You are just awake and present and active, and it's heaven. And that's just something that we can't even really comprehend what it's like to not get weary, but that's what we have to look forward to, of being able to be in the new body and to be able to just always be present there with the Lord, enjoying and rejoicing being with Him. And we won't ever have to take a break from it. We won't ever need a break from it. And we won't want a break from it. You know, I think about how we'll have the marriage feast, but there probably won't, you know, there won't be people that it's like, oh, you kind of ate too much today, or oh, sore stomach, I should have really not had so much of that. No, you're going to just eat for pleasure and enjoyment. And so you're going to be awake and it's going to be joyful and it's not going to be this weariness that affects us. And so I just want to leave you with that tonight. That when you get tired, you get sleepy, and you start dozing off, remember that even though that's a sign of the curse and what we live in on this earth, to know that our God never sleeps, He's always watching. And that we have to look forward to, if we know Him in a new body, an active energy, an awakefulness that we will never feel weariness again. Amen.